Can we just lift our hands and just honor the Lord just one more time? He's here, and his sweet presence is here. Lord, have your way. Have your way. You are here already. Bring that shift. Do what only you can do. Use these lips of clay in these few minutes, Lord, to just achieve what you want to do, to set that fire in their hearts, oh God, to bring them into that place of understanding and eye-opening wisdom, that no one will remain the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It's an honor to be here, and we also thank God for those who are watching through the YouTube of the church at this time or through the social media. You're very much a part of us, and that shift will come to you as well in Jesus' name. So we've been talking about what? A new season. That topic is awesome in itself. There's some topics that when you read it, it can preach. Just right there is already very inspiring. And just helped me as well ever since I received the theme of the conference, new season. And I looked into it. I also was feeling that I need to enter into a new season, and just on the verge of that. And the text is from Isaiah 43, verse 19. We will not be tired of reading it. Amen? It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." He said, behold. What does behold mean? It means what? See. So it's eye-opening. He wants to open our eyes. Look at what I'm about to do. It's going to be what? A new thing. And it shall spring forth. And yesterday we talked about the four seasons. So go back and watch it. I don't want to go through all of that again. And spring is when the flowers come out and when there's brightness. And God said, it's about to spring forth. And he wants us to be expectant. So in this service today, be expectant that there will be a shift. This is the very first Sunday of the sixth month of the year. Hallelujah. And yesterday we said Elizabeth was in her sixth month of that awesome miracle that she was carrying. And Mary was told that testimony. What is it about the 6 months? Hallelujah. It's like half time, but it's not over. That is when the team go into the locker room and they speak to themselves. She said, say to yourself, put your name there. I'm ready for a shift. It's a new season for me. Speak boldly. Do not accept defeat. Hallelujah. Because it's a new season. It's a season to reevaluate and to be ready for the new. Thank you, Jesus. So it's so prophetic. And he said, I will even make a road. He said, even in the wilderness. I don't know what area you have been in a wilderness like. Maybe your marriage has been barren and dry and desert-like. The Lord says, I will what? Make a road. Maybe it's your career. Maybe you've not, you've been out of a job for a while. Maybe it's that dream. Everything looks harsh and dry. And you're like, Lord, when will this wilderness season end? The Lord says, I am about to bring you what? Into a new season. And I am creating a road in the wilderness. And when he says he's creating a road in the wilderness, he is the same God that parted the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Remember that story? When the children of Israel were delivered and they came out of Egypt, and then there was the sea in front of them. How would they cross over? And the Bible makes us to understand that he parted the Red Sea. Hallelujah. So he's the same God then as he is today. Because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he wants us to be what? Ready. To be expectant. And then verse 18, the previous verse says, do not what? Remember. Another translation says, do not consider the former things of old. Do not remember the former things. Do not consider. That is, don't hold on to how things have been. because you are ready for a shift. Don't hold on. Don't give excuses anymore. Oh, but I've been here. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. But there is a season that is coming upon you. And it's a season where you will flourish, a season where you will thrive, a season where you will begin to walk in God's amazing blessings for your life. We said also yesterday, don't forget that you are light, that in and through all your seasons, you will still shine. Hallelujah. That you will still what? Shine. Because you are the what? Light of the world. That you will still shine. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to highlight this morning, you know, at this time, three things I want to highlight for this new season. Just three things that I want to highlight for this new season. Obedience to God's word. God wants us to be ready. How do we prepare for this season? How do we navigate the seasons we are in? How do we handle our seasons? Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Praise God. If you're willing and what? Obedient, you will eat the good of the land. To be obedient to God's word, to be obedient to his instructions, to look out for what he will say and inspire in your heart. To yield to his will. Amen. In this new season, we must be yielded. In all areas of our lives, we must be yielded. What he says to do, do it. Because within it lies our miracle. Within it lies that shift. And sometimes it comes in a very simple way, and sometimes we miss it because it's just too simple. Hello? Because in our mind, sometimes we feel it must be hard. It's not a hard thing for God to do. What you are trusting him for, it is not hard. Because when the time is right, it will happen. Easily. Doors you have knocked on before will open now. With a slight nudge, with a slight push, with a slight knock. And you'll be like, is this not where I had kept sending my resume, kept banging on there? And then in this season, it's as if you hardly do anything and it opens. Because that's what the season is like. Be obedient, be yielded. So if he says, get up and go to a particular place, don't say, oh Lord, but I've been there before. But no, just get up and go. Amen. And that obedience is like faith. It's having a childlike faith. It's the same thing. Don't let anything be too out of the box for you to do if you know it's the Lord that is inspiring it in your heart. And then also courage is another thing in this season that God is bringing you into. Courage. Because you will have to do certain things that would need courage. How many people agree that we need courage in our lives? We need courage. These are the times that we must be courageous more than ever before. Even in all our life, we need courage to take that step, to fill out that form, to make that application, to go back to school if that is what you feel you're supposed to do, you know, to spend time with your children if that's the season you are in. You need that courage because people will be telling you otherwise. You are the one that knows what you've heard. You are the one that knows the step that you should take. And you look around and you feel like, okay, nobody else is doing this in this season. So you need courage sometimes to go against the grain. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Many times, like she said it yesterday, when you see people doing amazing things and you're like, the simple difference sometimes is in the fact that they were courageous. She said yesterday, sometimes you need someone to mentor you, hold your hand, show you the way. But I will add this also. Sometimes the difference is just courage. They were just courageous enough to take that step. And then they all look shiny and everything. And you also are meant to shine. Amen. Take that courage. It was courageous for Abraham to leave his people and go to a country that he didn't even know of. Many of us, I won't say all of us, but many of us maybe came to this city or came to this country by being courageous. Have you ever thought about that? That you are courageous to leave your people behind, to leave your comfort zone or uncomfortable zone for a place that you were not even really sure of? Hello? It takes courage. So if they ask Abraham, then where are you going? Abraham said, I don't know, but when I get there, I will know. His was on a different level because he didn't know where he was going. God said, pack your stuff and go to a land that I will show you. That I will show you. That means as you go. As for you, you even knew your destination. Maybe you made up your mind you were coming to the U.S. or you made up your mind you were coming to North Carolina. Right? Where are you going? I'm going to North Carolina. I'm going to America. Oh, okay. And you bought your ticket and you came here. He didn't know where he was going. People must have thought, this man is something. You can't even tell us. Say, I don't know. I'm just going. But when I get there, I would know. He would tell me this is the place. And Lot had the effrontery, or should we say courage, to follow him. He was not told to go, but he did. Because he knew he was following a man of faith. People will follow you when you're a courageous person. They will know you are able to enter your season. Naomi and Ruth, still talking about women and women, but today we're spreading it because the men are in the house, and I have a word for the men. Ruth and Orpah, right? They were two women together. They were married to brothers, right? But when it was time to enter a new season, Orpah stayed behind. She was fearful. She felt what? I mean, stayed behind for what? She had lost everything already. She had lost her husband. And so it became two women now, an older woman and a younger one, Naomi and Ruth. And Naomi said, Ruth, don't come with me. Ruth said, I'm going with you. Said, go, stay back. I have nothing to offer. I'm going empty-handed. But she saw something. She saw a new season ahead. Did a new season happen to her or not? Of course it did. She had lost her husband, empty, everything. But then she was going to go with Naomi to a land that she did not know of. It was not her land. Naomi and her husband had come into their own country and married. But she followed her, and the rest is history. I don't know how many single people are in the house that want to key into this right now. A new season is upon you. So it may not look like it, but I pray that you will be courageous. I pray that you'll be sensitive and obedient in this season. I guess Ruth was being obedient to her heart, to her spirit, to God. She said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And Naomi said, look, go back. I think Naomi didn't want that burden. She didn't want that. I think she knew God could do it, but she didn't want, she said, let me go and sort out myself. I'm going back. I came out full. I'm going back empty. My people are going to make fun of me. And then I have someone tagging along that I will have to feed. Please go back. Anybody like that? You don't want that extra responsibility, that extra burden. But thank God for her tenacity and for her insight. She said, I am going with what? You. So it became Ruth, Naomi, and Ruth. And Ruth entered her season because Naomi showed her the way, right? She mentored her, and that's how she got who? That's how Boaz found her. Or she found Boaz, whichever way. Your Boaz is in your season, in this new season, in Jesus' name. And even for the men too, they'll say, oh, what about us? They're always talking about women having husbands. You also will find a wife and find a good thing. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Thank you. She may not look like what you think, but may the Lord open your eyes in the right season. All these measures that we give to God, tall, short, this height, this color, this profession. Come on. You know, yield to God. So that he doesn't want us to have those things, but you can say, Lord, nevertheless, in spite of all this list that I have given you, let your will be done. Let me not miss your best. Because sometimes the best doesn't come really nicely packaged. Amen. Do you want me to tell you stories? Hey, stories of the white shoe. When I met my husband, I mean, of course, before he became my husband, and he was a young pastor, right? He was a young pastor in a parish of a church, not Daystar, said Daystar about 2 years or a year and a half after being married. That's when we started Daystar. So he was pastoring the branch of this church, young pastor, and I was also young. He had this pair of white shoes I did not like. Did that stop me from saying yes? No, because there was a witness in my heart that that was my husband. There was a witness in my heart. Before he came, I kind of sensed, but I just kept quiet. Hello? Because Mary kept these sayings in her heart. I kept it, so I'm not here to prove that I knew before him or I knew before. No, that's not the standard. But I kept quiet and he came. I didn't let the white shoes stop me because I knew the white shoes were temporary. And I think he only had two pairs. I think a brown or black one and the white one. Just two. You would know. It's not like you're focusing on it. Every Sunday is either the white one or the brown one. That's how people react when we share the story. It's been a long time we've shared that story. We need to share it in church because a lot of new people have come. And this is 30 years ago, over 30 years ago. Because last month, May 1st, 2023, we had our 30th wedding anniversary. So, to God be the glory, to God be the, it's God, it's God's grace and God's mercy. Hello. And the married people said, amen. Sometimes it's not easy and sometimes it's easy. Because there are different seasons, even when you are married. Some days, yeah, you feel all the way, and some days you don't feel nothing. But you just know that you are married. Hallelujah. So after we started the relationship, it wasn't after we got married. We started the relationship, and all of that. And one day I talked about the shoes. He said, he got rid of the shoes by himself. I'm just saying, in case there's someone you like and your heart is, but you keep saying, I don't like how his hair is. I don't like. Those are temporary things. And we're not saying that plan to change someone afterwards. But the shoes was not even the, but because even if you didn't get married, even if you didn't get rid of the shoes, after getting married, am I not going to be in charge of arranging the house? I mean, of course, it depends. We're not saying the woman has to arrange the house or cook. But the shoe will just go missing one day. Please, don't sweat the small stuff. Some things are not worth fighting over. I'm not teaching you bad stuff, but after a while, if something looks like junk, where will it end up? I trashed it. But at that point in time, you might want to buy another pair that is better than the white ones. Where are my shoes? I have got this gift for you. I mean, wisdom is profitable to direct. Many times we feel stuck, but we don't have to be. We just don't have to be. There is no point. Recently, a friend of ours, his mom died. He's a pastor in America right here, Nigerian. And recently, his mom died at 102, and she lived in Nigeria, 102. And so recently, I called his wife. I mean, we're family friends. And I said, I wanted to say sorry about, Mama's passing and all that. When is the burial? We've not even heard any date from you. Are we going to have to go to Nigeria, with you and just to support? And she said, She's been buried. She comes from a Muslim family, but she had given her life to Christ. My husband had led her to Christ when she was 90, and she's 102 now, right? But he's the last born in the family. Even though he's a grown man, he's 50 something, about her age. But she said that, he's the last born, so he has older brothers and cousins and all of that. And they had been saying that the day she dies, she'll be buried in a Muslim way, despite the fact that she had her church that she was attending in the city of Ibadan, Nigeria. She said the next day they buried her. I said, so you didn't have to go, so there's no burial? She said, no. He sent money. He said that he's okay because he knows where she is. 102 is good, you know, and all of that. And I said, but the pastor, I thought, do you know this thing could have caused a big fight? I was telling her that these are the things you hear about in the family where siblings are fighting, relatives are fighting because the father or the mom, you know, passed on. And you hear all kinds of things. She said God had nudged his heart ahead of time, that when the time comes, they're going to drag it, but don't drag it with them. And I thought that was so wise. That was so what? Wise. And so I said, oh, so you didn't even have to travel. He said, we didn't have to travel, save money. We sent them money. They had the burial. And they also had a memorial in her church in Nigeria. Because she was a member of the church for years. But her family still said, we'll bury her the Muslim way. So the thing is that, is it about where they put the body or where the soul of the person has gone? Check out why we fight with our friends, with our spouses, or what. We really sometimes have to dial back. And this, for a long time in marriage, this will happen to me or to us until afterwards I realized that, you know what? There they go. We're friends, my husband and I, but you know that friends too fight. Not throwing punches, but not agreeing to sometimes how things should be done. And then sometimes I just realize that, you know what? He's the head. It's him God will ask about the decisions. So sometimes I catch myself. Sometimes even if it's about church, and I feel like, oh, this idea, let's do that. He says, no. Then I realize that, you know what? Let's drop it. In the bedroom? No. That's just wisdom. It's just wisdom. But you know that they could have gone on and on. No, she can't be married the Muslim way. Does that make her unborn again? Does that make her unchristian? Does that undo the fact that she had been saved for 12 years? Because they married her the Muslim way. They just let them have their way. And there was absolute peace. It's a season of peace that you're going into because it's a season of wisdom. A season of obedience, a season of courage. Sometimes it's just wisdom. A little adjustment that will make the difference between how we have been doing things before and how we want to do it now. It's not a matter of, people will now think I'm so soft and they'll run over me and walk all over me and everything. What do you want? To be right or to be at peace? It's a season of peace. Sweatless victories and triumph because Christ has already sorted us out up front. So I can imagine if you are that man, if you had not even received inspiration from the Holy Spirit, that they will fight with you, but let them have their way. And then you start fighting, and go pray, Lord, you know she's your daughter, she has to be buried the Christian way. And then the Holy Spirit just says, let it go. You're like, if you're not open, you'll be like, get behind me, Satan. So we have to choose our battles in this new season that we are going into. Courage. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Believe that the Lord is with you. Believe that the Lord is with you. And always go courageously into your next level, into whatever you need to go into. Maybe there's a young man here, you are afraid to propose to that lady. You are afraid. Be courageous about it. It's okay. Sometimes we don't have all the answers. Didn't the Bible say we live, but the just shall live by faith? We're supposed to live by faith, not always by certainty. By faith. You came here this morning by faith. You don't realize it. You got into your car, you drove here by faith. Just because you do it every day that you think it's not by faith. You drove here by faith. You're sitting on that chair by faith. Hello? You're trusting that the chair is not going to give way. Hello? I got on the plane, a short flight here from Atlanta to Durham. I got in by faith. Do I know the pilot? Hello? And I sat down comfortably. Of course, I said, Lord, I declare this journey is safe. Thank you for the takeoff and arrival. I will land safely. I always say that quick prayer, you know. But again, I am not looking to see who's the pilot. Is he black or white? Is he, you know? That's worry, that's anxiety. So to some degree, I trusted the pilot. I trusted the crew. And sometimes we can't even trust God that much. Trust him for your new season. Trust him that he will usher you in. Trust him that you will not remain in that place forever. Trust him that you're not going to remain in pain. That pain will be converted into power, into greatness. It will be used for his glory. In the name of Jesus, accept that you are light. We say, I'm not shining right now, but you are light. Whatever is covering it will be removed in the name of Jesus. So in your new season, you will be courageous. And then lastly, I'm going to join two together. Love and spirit-filled. Because I said it's three, right? Be spirit-filled. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this talks about gratitude, right? Giving thanks. In this new season, you will be a praiser. Are you ready? Because some people, being grouchy and all that is there, and I'm not throwing anyone under the bus or anything, because being there, done that. And I said a bit of that yesterday. That, but I've learned that I have to be joyful and I have to be thankful, because there's something to be thankful for. Being alive, being able to breathe in and out unassisted. Hello? And there might be some people right now in that place now. Maybe you're in a hospital, or maybe you'll watch this later. Someone will send it to you. And you're being assisted to breathe. We declare healing upon you in Jesus' name. Don't wait till you get to that point that you realize that air was free all the while. Because some have to pay for it. By the time they have to put them on oxygen and everything. But we speak healing in Jesus' name. Let's rejoice in the little things. She said yesterday, happy yourself. Was it happy yourself or happy your soul? Happy yourself. I love it. Can I use that quote? I love it. Happy yourself. You know, joy is the fruit of the Spirit, right? So say, okay, we have the joy of the Lord on our inside. But I'm going to add that. Happy yourself. Praise God. Happy yourself. Thank you, Jesus. So he said, giving thanks for all things. In all things, give thanks. Sometimes it's difficult, but it gives beauty for ashes, Bible says. The oil of joy for mourning. I don't know what someone might be mourning over right now. I don't know if you've lost a loved one or whatever, but it says he gives the oil of what? Joy instead of mourning. Joy is a force. It's a very, very powerful force. And the enemy always seeks to steal it. But he says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If he can take your joy, then he can take your strength. Right? We have to catch him in his tricks. Hello? I learned a principle some years back, and you know, sometimes I forget, but when I remember, I catch myself, and now I've become more constant with it. And it is this. You know, when something happens, you're disappointed, you want to feel sad, right? But don't stay in that moment for too long. Because when you do, when you're sad, you get sadder. And sadness multiplies sadness. And then you're going down this black hole. The sadness and the sadness. And when you look at how sad you are in the mirror, you shake your head. You feel sorry for yourself. And then demons come. I'm not a demon preacher, but I want to tell you a principle here. It's complaining is music to Satan's ears. Years ago, one day the Lord showed me, I said, you are just supplying music to the enemy. Hey, it was a turning point for me. And ever since then, I try to practice this. Sometimes I forget, then I catch myself and I say, eh? complaining. You know, sometimes you don't complain outside, visible. Inside your mind, you're just like, oh God, why is this happening? Why me? Why not you? And then all that happens, you start to find that you're sadder and sadder because you have invited demons into your room. When you're complaining and moaning, I'm not saying we should not be real. I'm a real person. People know me. If you're my friend, I say, how are you? If I'm not feeling well, I won't say I'm strong. I might say, I'm a little under the weather. Because when we say I'm strong, they say, okay, is this strong, strong? The strong of the real strong or the strong of you are weak? Because you see you are strong. How do they help you? How do they speak into your life? How? Okay, you go to the doctor's office. How are you feeling? I'm strong. He said, so why are you here? So we have to know, have that balance where we are confessing faith and where we are saying it as it is, but we're not negating God's word. Because if not, we'll be lying up and down. And I mean, in the doctor's office, you feel terrible. So how do you feel? I'm strong. So we have to be wise, right? So I'm not saying we cannot complain to God at all because he's your father. In fact, the book of Psalms, there are some whole chapters that's just full of complaints. If you know David in the backside of the devil, oh Lord, why is this? There was one, I think it's Psalm 72 or so. He was complaining and complaining. He said even the rich, the wicked, they don't serve you. Their necks are fat. They have jewelry. They have all of life's goods. He was a mess, but he was opening up to God. Like, God, I'm serving you, but look at it. These ones, they don't know you, and they have the best cars, they have the best. And Bible says, God opened his eye, and he said, until I went into the sanctuary, and I understood their head, and I said, oh, Lord, I didn't know you set them in slippery places. I even have a better deal because I know you. But I was looking at the outward. I was looking at what they had, and he didn't know that he had those things already. Even though they may not be in manifestation. He caught himself. He said, my feet had slipped. I'd literally backslidden because I was comparing. And there's something I always like saying a lot. People know, I said, don't compare yourself. Even yesterday, I said, don't compare one person's season to your own season. I always say, don't compare yourself. Don't compare me to my husband. Don't compare me to my friend. Don't, because people are always fond of doing that. Don't allow it. And you also don't walk on that path. So he was a complainer. There were times David complained, he moaned, but he was also a praiser. And you read some chapters, he's just eulogizing God, he's just calling God sweet names with his, So I'm not saying that be unreal with God. And in the morning, how are you, daughter? And you say, Lord, I'm good. Is there anything you want? No, nothing. No, be real with God. But what I'm trying to say is that don't go around with a long face complaining because you are supplying songs for the enemy. So he showed me that when you complain, Nike, when you complain, the enemy, the Satan and his demons, this is how they are operating. This is what they feel. Music, so they're like, she's calling for us, she's calling for us, she's calling for us. So I'm like, they'll now be dancing on my head, in my atmosphere. No wonder the whole place becomes gloomier than ever. Switch. Shift. Tell your neighbor, shift. From this moment, shift to praise. Shift to praise, no matter what you're going. Lord, I'm hurting. I know how it is, but you are God, and I will praise you. I will not partner with the enemy. I will not partner with the enemy because you are good. And when you switch to praise, the angels are like, where is that sweet sound coming from? It's not even church day. It's not even Sunday. It's coming from you driving to work in your car. And they're like, wow, she's calling for us. He's calling for us. He's calling for us. And before you know it, your whole entire atmosphere is uplifting. It's filled. Don't wait till you come to church before you praise God. It's filled. Even if you can't praise him, we have artists, music, gospel that have done a lot. They're on YouTube. They're mute. I don't want to call names. Sinat, Nathaniel Bassis. I mean, we know all this. Switch. Slot it in. And before you know it, there's a different atmosphere. And you feel better. Your situation may not have changed, but you're in a different atmosphere. That's what happens. It's atmospheres. It's what we speak. It's what we sing. That's why when we come to church, we feel like, there's an atmosphere here. You can create it for yourself, all by yourself at home, even in your car. Yes, it's atmospheres, it's environments. The angels come and they camp there. And God himself comes to camp there with you. And guess what? The enemy cannot come because, like, praise. Oh, no.
Why is she not supposed to be praising God at this time? He's not supposed to be praising God. We know what's going on in her life. No, this is not adding up. Yes, it must not add up. So I'm telling you, in this season, out of season or whatever, always confuse the enemy. Always confuse him. Always confuse him. When I learned that, I said, okay, because I can't be up today, down tomorrow. I will always confuse him. Some of you know what you're going through, and it's tough. But be a confusion to the enemy. And let God say, well done, girl. Well done, my man. Well done. You're going to be lifted out of it. You're a person of faith. Now I know you love me. Praise God. It's a season. Tell your neighbor, shift to praise. And so I'm rounding up now because I'm in that, still in that Ephesians 5 that says 5:20, giving thanks. So I was just talking about giving thanks and gratitude for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, and we've read all of that. But I will then jump to 5:33 because we know after that there's Ephesians 5:25, wives, submit to your husband, husband, love your wife, you know, and all of that. But I'm going to jump to the end. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, faithful God. Faithful God. He says we should, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. And wives should honor their husbands. So I just want to bring out the fact that at the very top of that verse, it talks about being spirit-filled. You know, praising God, being joyful towards God. And then he went on to now talk about the relationship with one another. If this is not in place, the other will be hard. It will be who goes first, because that's always been the case. Is the wife supposed to submit before the husband loves? Or is he supposed to love first before the wife submits and honors? Right? Many of us know of that argument, do we? And that's because we're like, okay, if he does this, then I'll do this. It's not supposed to be that way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're to prefer one another in love. In this new season, your marriage will be sweeter. I've already talked about those who are single, right? And they're getting ready to go into their own season as well. Praise God. And we said yesterday, it's not because marriage is the ultimate or anything. That was during the Q&A. But because if you desire it, he will make it happen for you. And in the meantime, keep loving God. Keep enjoying him. Keep growing. Just keep being a better person. It's not like you are not enough, but just keep enjoying your singleness. Even Paul said that those who are single, they care about the things of the Lord. But if you're married, you have to nurture that, not only that vertical relationship with God, but the horizontal. And it's that wisdom of knowing how to maneuver. 1 Peter 7 also, I like it so much. It says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understandings. Talking about a man towards his wife. Giving honor to the wife as what? The weaker vessel. And being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers will not be hindered. It's amazing. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you read the whole of the chapter, it talks about women also reverencing their husbands. But without being partial, if you say, who goes first? Who goes first? Who is the head in a family, in a marriage? Who is the head? Who is the head? Who is supposed to lead? So who goes first? Now the men are quiet on me here now. Who is supposed to go first? Okay. They are to love like Christ loved the church, right? Okay. Did the church love Christ first or Christ loved the church first? Did we submit to him first, or he died for us, showed love by dying for us? And then we realize that, we owe him, we cannot repay. Hello? That love breaks us. That love melts us. That love makes you not to even be able to be angry with God. When you're going through stuff and you feel like, God, I'm serving you, look at this and all of that. But when you remember Jesus, you calm down, right? So he sent his love to us first. We responded. So permit me to say, husbands,
love your wives. And wives, what? Respond to that love. And that response is also love, but it's in the reflected by submission, and is reflected by honor. Thank you, Jesus. Why is it so simple that we, why do we miss it? Pastor, why do we miss it when it's so simple? Hello, why? Is something not adding up somewhere? And not to take any bashing at anyone, but we teach women a lot. Women's conference, women, and I know the men, the conference is coming up and all that. Right? Is your conference coming up, the men? Okay, right. But I hope you talk about these things there. Not just about the finances, which is good. Men like to talk about how big they are, their promotion at work, and how big their church is or whatever. And that's important. Success. Women, too, like success. Hello? I mean, if you're in this church and you're a woman, you must like success, because Dr. Tony already, the bar is so high. I know you didn't want me to mention a whole university don, a whole president of a college, and all of that. She's not hiding her light, but I think many times she'd rather be addressed as Pastor Tony. That, I don't know. But women like success as well. But I'm just saying that. In this season, men, can you receive grace to love? You will see that if anyone's marriage has been hard here, men, I want to challenge you, go first. He says, dwell with them with what? Understanding. We don't need much. I'm speaking because I'm a woman, right? We don't need much. We need that understanding. We need that support. We just need that love. We don't need all the money in the world. We just need that care, a little nurture, a little feeling like a priority. Feel like a priority. Hello? We don't need you having another woman by the side. Look, you see, Pastor BC said, yep. Yeah, so I know I'm preaching good. Ah, let me move to this side. We don't need, yeah, because church men, they won't go and marry a second wife because polygamy, in fact, that's not in America, that's a crime, right? Yeah. But how about the side chicks? How about all those sneaky things? We just want to be prioritized. Hello? We want to be supported. We need some help. Help with groceries, help with the children. Let's talk about it. Which area can we do it together? Yes. I know in America you do stuff together, but it can be better. Let's not come with that African mentality. It's a new season. Oh, it's a new season. That old method will not work anymore. It's a new season. And I see bliss in marriages. They are doing it for years and years and years. Look at them. Let them mentor you. And later on, I know there's a book, so I won't say anything about that, which is another tool that will help us. I can't wait to talk into mine and get extra strength. Kingdom woman, kingdom man. But I know we're always talking to the women. Oh, no, your husband, cook for him, wash his plate. Even the girls. Oh, Birinye. I'm sorry, let me interpret. You're a girl. Because the mother is already thinking you'll marry one day. Don't go and shame me there. It's tough. The pressure is much. Let's teach boys as well to grow up. Not just to be providers, but to care, to look out for us. And my husband and I, we've been working on it, and we're still at it. We're still at it, and we'll be open with one another. And he's trying his best, and we keep, you know, he's a good man. But there are times I tell him my need. Two, there are times I have to say, okay, I saw your call. This is years ago. I saw your call or your text. I'm like, what do you want? I know you want to run something by me. You want, I'm your sounding board, yes? And he said, yes. And I'm like, okay. I want to get texts for nothing. Just, hi, how are you doing? Love you. Nothing. No. What's next? And then he will laugh. He's okay, I'm working on it. I like men who, they're teachable. They're learning. They will tell you, okay, where I'm coming from, my parents didn't hug, they didn't, you know, but I will let you, not that I will let you, not that I'm his leader, but in that area, I will agree. So we're not saying be all what you are not, but the effort, and women too, celebrate the effort. Celebrate the effort, because sometimes it's hard. For some men to say I love you, it's like the thing is stuck in the throat. Some men, when you say to them, I'm not bashing men today, but I have pastor's permission. Okay, woman says, honey, sweetheart, I love you. And the man says, same here. What's same here? That's true. But can't you, L-O-V, where can you not? Huh? Or like the Americans say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Love, L-O-V. See it. At least have a conversation. So he said, why is it that you cannot? Each time I say I love you, they say me, why can't you? Then you find out that it's difficult because he never heard his dad say it to his mom. But you know, you say it's a new season. It's a new family, it's a new day. We can unlearn things that, and find out each other's love languages. There are 5 long languages. If you read Gary Chapman's book, 5 love languages. It's online. 5lovelanguages.com. Take that test. Run the test and you find out your two top ways you want to be loved. Some like gifts, some like acts of service. So if your wife likes acts of service, and every time you say, I love you all the time. I say, would you be saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. You hug her, but her top love languages are acts of service. Just to help around. Just say, oh, I got you. I feel that form already for you. You just see how she. So we cannot even also miss, because it says, according to understanding, study your own wife. Wife, to study your own husband. We're to study one another. Just like we're to study our children. If you have one child, study. If you have 7 children, that's 7 degrees. Because you have to study each one to know how each one is. There's the one you come back from work, just likes to greet you. Hi, mom, and that's it. There's the other one that runs to you and hugs. Don't say you, hi, mom, from there. Can't you see your brother that came to hug me? No, that's already shaming. You didn't study enough to know that one, his love language is verbal. This other one, his or her love language is physical. And you use one to judge the other. So don't use your husband's friend to judge. My husband's friend, every time she comes, he gives her a peck, he gives her a peck. What is your own husband's love? In a new season, just a little adjustment. And you will see that you have the best wife in the world. And you see you have the best husband in the world. Satan is a liar. He didn't want our eyes to be open to this. So in Jesus' name, I declare and I prophesy over you. It's a season of joy. It's a season of ease for all of us. Single, married, career, non-career, whatever it is. You're going into a season of thriving. A season of flourishing. They that dwell in the house of our God shall flourish in the courts of our God. You will flourish in your going out and in your coming in. Because Bible says you are blessed in the city, you are blessed in the field. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what is tormenting you right now. I don't know what is dulling your light. I don't know what is on the inside that life seems to be ebbing away from you. But in Jesus' name, as a woman of God, as one that is sent into this assembly today, receive that fire, receive a rekindling of your faith. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it and be ready for a new season, because it's coming upon you. It's coming upon you. There will be testimonies that will reference this weekend. All to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.